Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of sparking revival. Committed to spreading the gospel, this is your Kingdom Crossroads podcast. And now your host, T.S. Wright. Welcome everyone to the Kingdom Crossroads. I am your host, T.S. Wright, and I'm so glad you could join us today. Before we dive into today's episode, if you haven't already, please take a moment to follow or subscribe and give us a like. Thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. So back with us today is Deborah McNinch. And if you remember, she is that devoted wife, mother, first-time author, and that passionate prayer warrior who founded Battle Cry. And it's a prayer movement dedicated to bringing our prodigals home through the power of prayer. Her motto is "No one fights alone." And it is the cry for parents to unite and through prayer fight for our children. Deborah, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to come back on here and have some more fun, in-depth conversation just to offer hope and joy. So, well,
we are glad to have you back. And there's been a part of this discussion that we didn't get to have the last time. And of course, we wanted to do some spotlighting here for you on your prayer ministry, but we never dove into that depth on that part of it. So we're going to do that today. And good. It's time to let our listeners hear this. You guys, if you didn't hear the first episode, you need to go back and listen to it. Absolutely listen, because we recorded one a little less than a month ago. And now, and it's already been posted, now it's time to jump into some of the more details of what she really does here. And so I am encouraging you guys, listen to it, and then come back and listen to this one. So without further ado, here we go. So we're going to start this off, Deborah. And of course, that question is, we talked that last time. You brought up the name, the topic, battle plan, but we never got into that. So here we go. Deborah, take us through the battle plan.
So if you didn't get a chance to watch the show, I'm just going to give you a 30-second recap. About 8 years ago, my son came out as transgender, and what followed was a lot of uncertainty and a lot of tears and a lot of just fear of what I was going to do, what the future was going to look like, and mostly how could I fix this? And here's a newsflash, I couldn't. But what I could do is turn to the Lord. And He was so faithful in those early days. And I was praying one day and I'm like, Lord, I don't even know what to pray. Fix it, Jesus, was pretty much all that I could get out of my mouth most days. And finally, you know, me and him had a little chat and we talked about, he was like, you're going to need a battle plan. And I'm like, I am going to need a battle plan. You're right. I can't just get up and start, well, Lord, thank you for the day. today. I hope my son is okay today. No, I was going to need to know and learn how to shake the heavens and how to just lay my child before the throne every single day and just believe that God was going to hear my prayers and his word is true and that I was going to speak that over him every single day and that it was going to just move this mountain that we were facing. So the battle plan is very simple. It's five steps, and I would love to just go over those with you.
Well, you know what? The floor is yours. Talk to us about step one.
Yes. So to start a battle plan, these are probably things, honestly, you're already doing. But when you put them together, they're very powerful. The first step is we worship. We worship. If you read many accounts in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when the army was going out, they sent the worshipers out first to prepare the ground and get ready for the battle. And that is what I knew that I needed to do. I was going to need to worship. And I couldn't just do any just crazy, like little songs. No, I was going to need to go deep into my worship and just give God all the praise and all the glory that he is due. And if you think of the story in the Bible of the widow's mite, you know, it's the story of where she put in her two little bits and everybody else was putting in all these bigger things. But Jesus noticed her and he said, she is giving out of her poverty. And that is how we approach worship in battle cry. We worship from our poverty. We worship from our pain. It is so easy to go to church and raise your hands and be just all in it when everything is going great. But when your child is doing things that you didn't envision them doing and your family is broken and you have cried more tears than you could even begin to count, you have to worship from that place of poverty and you have to make a choice. Is God still good and is he still worthy to be praised? And the answer is yes. And so the first step is worship. And we choose a song. I encourage everybody, choose one song, maybe two songs. And then when you have those days that you can't get out of bed, when you have lost your way, when all of it seems to be pressing down too hard on you, put that song on and just sing it from a place of victory. And you need to have those in your wheelhouse ready to go because the bad days are going to come. I have good days and I have bad days. And when those bad times come, I go back to my songs and I push play and I just sit in silence and I close my eyes and I just sing them back to the Lord. And so worship is the very first step. Pick a song, pick two songs, pick something that is meaningful that just describes your heart and just give God all the praise and all the glory that he is due. So worship is first. Next, the second step is the word. I encourage everybody to pick a verse that you want to pray over your child. It can be something that God has given you. Maybe it's a verse that you've always prayed over your child. Maybe it's something someone has told you. But find a verse. Find a verse that speaks to your situation and just start saying it every day, declaring it over your child. And we like to figure out fun places to put the verse. I like to put it on index cards, put it in your shower, put it in your bathroom, put it in your car. I actually have the verses I have for my children on my phone. And when they call me or text me, that verse rolls across my screen. And so I don't usually answer to the, you know, fourth or fifth ring because I want the whole verse to like roll across the screen before I answer it. So find ways to get that verse into your life every single day. If you have access to your child and you still have relationship, if they live at home, put it under their mattress, put it on a card, put it in their shoe, put it, write it like, you know, used to write your kids' names on their shirt, write it on their tag of their t-shirt, whatever it takes, but start declaring God's word. Start putting that verse in with your child's name in it and start saying it every single day. And I promise you it's powerful.
Amen.
It's powerful.
Amen.
So yes. So that's the word. That's the second step. The third step is prayer. We have a list of things that we pray in our group, just start making a list. I'll read a couple of them to you, but I want you to start your own list and pray those every single day. Sometimes I can't remember. Like, I'll be like, what should I pray today? I'm going to my list because it's in black and white and I can just start reading it and then go from there. Pray things like, pray that their will be broken and that they would follow the will of God. Pray for a heart to be broken, whatever the earthly cost. And that was a hard one. That is a hard one, whatever the earthly cost. If that's a coma, if that's a car wreck, if that, you know, whatever that looks like, whatever the earthly cost is, that's what I am willing to pay because I want their heart broken for things of the Lord. And so he can do that. Pray for God to expose the spirit that has a hold on them. Pray against the enemy's desire to have them. I tell my kids that I am fighting for you and I will not let Satan have you. They may not want to hear that, but that's what I tell them. Pray against the influences that are manipulating them. Pray for God to remove toxic people from their lives. Pray that God would put godly people in their lives. Pray that they would have a God wink each day, that they would see something, that they would smell something, that they would encounter someone that would remind them of their life in Christ. We pray that every seed planted in them would begin to grow, that God would bring to their mind every verse they ever memorized, every vacation Bible school song they ever sang, every youth group they ever attended, every single sermon they heard, that would be brought to their mind. Those are seeds planted in their heart. And we just pray that God would bring those forth to their remembrance, that they would remember who they are in Him. And we pray that the scales on their eyes would fall off and that God would give them eyes to see, His eyes to see every circumstance. We pray for God to use our kids for His kingdom purposes. I often pray that every single word that has been written about them in their book in heaven would come to pass on this earth, and every assignment God has for them, they would fulfill, and that Satan would not steal one more day from them.
Amen.
I pray that they will lead others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray for a heart to trust that God loves them more than I do, which is really hard to believe, but he truly does. And I'll give you one more. I pray that for myself, that I would walk in the authority given to me as a mother in Jesus, and that through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that I would bind what needs to be bound on this earth, and I would loose what needs to be loosed. And so start a list. Those are things. And so the third step is prayer. Start a list of things to pray and pray them every single day. The fourth step is we declare God's promises. I would start with 5 or 10 promises. His word is full of them. Find 5 or 10 of them. Go through them. Start declaring His promises over your family every single day. Promises like Luke 15:4, I will say, thank you, Lord, that you leave the 99 to go after the one. Like James 1:5, I will say, thank you, Lord, that you give wisdom to anybody that asks. You would give wisdom to me when I pray and ask for wisdom, and you'll give wisdom to my children. I pray Acts 16:30, and I say, thank you, Lord, that if I believe, that me and my household shall be saved. I pray Isaiah 54:10. Thank you, Lord, that your love never fails. And I'll give you one more. Psalms 50:15. Thank you, Lord, that when I call on you, I know you will answer. So find 5 or 10 promises. Start with those and start declaring those every single day. It's very, very powerful to declare his promises over your family. And the last step is very easy. Community. You need community. I like to call them mat carriers, like the story of the paralytic that needed 4 friends to lower him down in front of Jesus. You need to find people that will pray with you, that will lower your child down before the Lord every single day. So find your mat carriers. Find who you can text every single day. Who can, if you're having a bad moment, you can text someone or call them and say, I need prayer right now. So find 3 or 4 friends that are willing to walk this route with you. And I promise you that there's strength in numbers, and just having support and community is going to make a huge difference. And we just believe in our group. We have a group. If you don't have one, be sure to join us in Battle Cry Moms, Battle Cry Dads, because we would love to partner with you and walk this hard road of having prodigal children. And that is the steps. The steps are very easy, but together they are so powerful.
Amen. Well, I'm going to say this, that the fact that, and you guys need to understand this as you're listening here, you may not even be in a situation where you're, quote, praying a prodigal home. But I want you to learn from this piece of it. Deborah comes at this with a strategy. See, we have to be strategic against the enemy. There, you can't just throw out a few prayers, hey, little protection over my family, and, you know, the kind of what I call the little fleshly prayers that
right.
don't, they're just kind of little float notes up to the heavens. That's not praying. Praying comes from your heart, and it is coming to God and to pray what he wants you to pray to him. You see, I think it's so important. And we ask God, what do you want us to pray about? Just like Deborah points out, she's pointing out to you that she asked God, what is this battle cry? She was asking him what to do, and he responded to her. You see, you need to ask what God wants you to read. You need to ask what God wants you to pray. You need to ask, what are the strategic steps? See, God already knows what to win. He already has the winning plan. You just have to ask him. He wants you to come to him broken and humble before him. And when you do, he will give you what you ask for. You know, just like blind Bartimaeus. I mean, think of blind Bartimaeus. Think of the woman who just absolutely had to touch the cloak of Jesus. She didn't care what it was going to take. She just did it. She was going and she'd play. I mean, if she'd been a football player, she'd have been like a linebacker blitzing through the line, and she was going to crush the quarterback to make sure that the play was made, no matter what. I mean,
she was doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just going to happen. We have to come with that level, not only of faith, but persistence and brokenness, just like a child comes to you when they're in need. He wants you, you are his child. He wants you to come with him, to him with your need. I think that's so important. So, Deborah, I want to throw this out there too. You've obviously brought up prayer and gave us some things to think about. But are there any types of prompts or, you know, just specific things that you think are important that you have in your website that maybe some people have mentioned that are just specific things that you pray over your prodigals?
You know, again, every situation is different. So, you know, the Word of God is so cool because it covers about every situation you can find yourself in.
Amen to that.
And so I would just encourage you to always just go to the Word. That's where the answer is. That's where all of our answers are, if we go to the Word. And you just have to stand on the promises. And I always like to say, you have to wait. You can do all this battle plan and you can pray every single day. But are you doing it because you believe it, or are you just doing it? And so the thing that you have to get in your head is you have to do it with belief, and you have to wait with anticipation. And that's what I talk about. After you do all of this, what's the next step? The next step is to wait with anticipation. And I always love to tell the story of when my kids were little, we were going to go to Disney for the first time. And we had this picture and we sent off and got the map and we got the little DVD and we, you know, we sat in front of the TV and watched it. And I put that map of the park in the hallway. It was there for like 9 months.
Oh,
you know, my
word.
Husband would come home from work and he'd be like, what are you guys doing? But we sat in front of that map. And we anticipated every single place we wanted to go. Every night we would go down and be like, oh, we can go there. We can cut through there. We can do this. But we waited for that trip with anticipation and we studied for it and we were prepared for what we were going to do when we get there. And that's what I would encourage people to do, is to get these promises, get this word and make your battle plan, but wait with anticipation. Wait with anticipation of what it's going to look like when your child does come back. What do you going to do when you get there? And I always say, do the thing. If you're a family that likes to go out to eat, buy yourself a gift card, put it up on the shelf. Look at it every single day and say, that gift card, We're using that when my prodigal comes home. For us, it's a puzzle. We like to do puzzles in my family. I have a puzzle on my shelf, and I'm going to do that puzzle when my prodigal comes home. We're going to sit and do that puzzle. And so find out what your thing is for your family and put it before you as just as a memorial, just to see it every day and wait with anticipation that it's going to happen.
Amen. You know, Jesus tells us, in the Bible, I should say, tells us that God's word will not come back to us void.
Right.
It's not going to come back void. Guys, if you remember listening to the episode where I was talking to Coach Lunny, who is the guy that helped lead me to Christ, if you guys remember that, what did he say? The word of God will not come back void. Deborah is telling you exactly the same thing. This is why you want to spend time in the word. This is why you want to memorize scripture and you want to proclaim it. You want to proclaim it, not just over your prodigal, but over yourselves. And I promise you, his word will not come back void. It never does. It never does. And you know, she brings up the part about having memorials. Remember this, the Israelites, God would have them establish memorials, and then they would write the stuff that happened so that way there would always be a remembrance for it. And it reminds us of God's faithfulness, that he does stand on his promises and that he fulfills them in his due time. We need to remember that. You know, these battles are always being waged. And that's why I love the name Battle Cry Moms and Battle Cry Dads, because it is a war. It is a spiritual war. And if we got to fight with strategy, we always got to come with strategy. So
absolutely. And like you said a few minutes ago, if you're listening to this and you have little kids and you think, I don't even know, like, is this going to happen to me? You know, we don't talk about these hard things to scare people. We talk about them to prepare people, because I wish someone would have sat me down when my children were small and said, do you realize there's an enemy after your family? Because I really did not to the extent that I now know. And these are all steps that you could be doing to your kids, even if they're in the crib right now, even if they're infants right now. Find a verse, pray it over them. Find God's promises, pray it over them. I'm telling you that there's an enemy going to try to get your family, and you're not going to let them. Stand on his word and be strong.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to give you guys, if you are unsure where to start in the word of God with this type of thing, start with Jesus's battle with Satan in the wilderness.
Yes.
That's the place to start. Guys, just start right there. Because what does Jesus do? He teaches us how to fight. He not only does the fight for us in this particular instance, he fights Satan, but he also is teaching us how to do it. Because once we have the Holy Spirit, we can fight exactly the same way. And I always find this interesting. What does Jesus always start with? It is written.
It is written.
It is written. And it's not just written on paper, but it is written in the heavenlies. And Satan knows this, and he cannot stand against it. He has no power.
No power. He loses.
He does. And he knows in the end, he's going to ultimately have the worst loss. And the only thing he's trying to do is drag more people with him, because he is angry about that and because he can never recover from it. He cannot recover. He can't give up his pride to get it all back. And the reason is because he's an eternal being, and that eternal being waged war against God through his pride, and as a result, he is eternally condemned. But guess what? Your prodigals don't have to be. No one, hell was never meant for human beings, and it's still not. It is meant for Satan and the demons, because God made them eternal beings, so he can't destroy them, so he had to have a place to remove them to. That's the only reason it's there. It is not there for you and me. God does not desire anyone, hear me out, he does not desire anyone to be there. He wants everybody to come to him, broken, humble, and submit to him and surrender their life to him, and he gives you a place in heaven. Let's remember that. And I think Deborah's message here is totally echoing that sentiment. And we need to pay attention. So Deborah, here's another question for you. And I like to get a little message in there too, every once in a while, right? She's got fired up. I mean, hey.
Oh yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
I'm teaching and she's almost got me preaching. I mean, come on. So Deborah, one thing I want you to do is talk to our listeners, give them a sense of when they're feeling desperate, okay? Talk to them about the power that can actually be in that desperation.
Well, I can speak from experience because we've been having a kind of a harder summer the last month or so. And, you know, things aren't always all unicorns and rainbows. And I have to take my own advice. Sometimes I have to read my own book because I have to get back into that mindset, you know, and I think it's sometimes that we just keep asking God, when is this going to end? And I know there are so many parents that feel like that too. And one time I was at a, you know, a railroad crossing and I was sitting there and, you know, everybody, you know, is a good Christian until they're at a railroad crossing and you have to sit there for 15 minutes and yeah, you know, you start thinking some things, you know? So one day I was sitting there and I was stretching my, you know, I was trying to see where's the end of that train, you know, I was stretching around and I was so impatient. And all of a sudden God just kind of gave me this vision and said to me, you know, I am up here. I know where the end of that train is. And I knew right then we weren't talking about trains any longer. We were talking about my child because I am so impatient. And I wish today was the day that my family would be restored the way I pray and hope it is one day to be restored. But he said, you know, I am up here and I know where the end of that train is. Your job is to sit there and to wait and to look to me. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. And just today, I posted a verse in our group, you know, that says 1,000 years is like a day and a day is like 1,000 years. God's timetable is not our timetable because my timetable is like today'd be great. But you know what? I saw this one time somebody gave this little illustration and I don't even remember what they were saying with it, but the way I took it was if you pull an arrow back, like if you're going to shoot an arrow and you keep pulling it back, if I was to release it from here, it would go so far. Yeah, it would go and maybe it would hit a few things and that would be fine. But if I was going to just pull it a couple more inches back, it would go even farther. But if I waited for God to do what he is going to do, and I don't get impatient and I don't beg him to make it in today, if I let his perfect plan play out and that arrow is pulled all the way back, when it shoots, it is going to land and it is going to be powerful and it's going to hit the target. So don't stop. Don't stop too early because God, you know, maybe today, if he came back, maybe 10 people would be saved. Maybe if he came back tomorrow, 20 people would be saved. But if I can keep my eyes on the Lord, and if I have to wait 2 more decades for the answer to the prayers that I want to see answered, there might be thousands that will be changed and set free because of a testimony. And so don't get ahead of God. Stay in the today. Don't get lost in what is going to happen 3 years from now. Focus on that, just the light in front of you. And that's why he says, you know, he leads us. Let him lead you each and every day. And don't get ahead of him. And just wait and wait with anticipation, holding on as tight as you can to the hope and the joy that you have in him.
Amen. Amen. I'm just going to say this, that what she just said, you guys need to just take that in. Just let that absorb a little bit, because when we know that when we wait on God and let his plan materialize, then it's going to be the most effective. When we rush it and we push and we're trying to be our controlling selves, that doesn't work. It never works out that way. And so we, you know, discerning God's will is something we need to ask for. It's not just asking for wisdom. We need to ask for discernment. Because timing matters, and God knows that, and he knows the perfect time.
Amen.
All right. Well, Deborah, why don't we do this? Why don't you tell us a little bit about how people can get in touch and get connected to your group and give us a little bit of insight on the book?
We have a disco going on here. I don't know if you can see this. I don't know what is happening. It's fun. We can just put some music in the background. It'll be great.
Hey,
was going on.
I was a little kid when all that was going outside, on.
So maybe it's the electric. I don't know. I hear a storm's coming, but maybe that's it. To my book is available everywhere. Books are sold, Amazon, all the places, Barnes and Noble. There's an ebook. There's a physical book. And so please get one. You can get them from my website also, which is DeborahMcNinch.com. And on there, we have resources. We have the book. I have some free resources, prayer guides. We have t-shirts. We have mugs. We have all kinds of different things that just remind you that battle cry and no one fights alone. That is just our message. And so please get on my website. I try to blog every once in a while. I have a newsletter I send out as well. And if you're a mom or a dad, join us at www.battlecrymoms.com and battlecrydads.com. It's a great community, and you will find a lot of hope and support.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to include all this in the show notes, obviously. And I'm going to say this right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray the power of the Spirit, and I pray that God will send the angels upon these prayers and that he will answer these prayers in his due time.
Amen.
Amen and amen. That's what I say. So, we're going to include all this in the show notes and in wrapping up. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode, and we appreciate you spending the time with us and being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. If you enjoyed what you heard, we kindly ask you hit that subscribe or follow button and give us that like. Your support allows us to keep producing the great content and sharing these experiences with you. And you can also go to our website at www.godcenteredconcept.com. And the Kingdom Crossroads podcast is listed under podcasts there. You can also look at our other ministries and all those great things. And we are very, very much appreciative of all the things that you guys do in the community. And we pray that you will continue to spread the message of the Word of God. This is T.S. Wright, and on behalf of myself and Deborah, go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Amen.